this first message. Love, love, love. Love, love, love. Love, love, love. Love is all you need. 1967, the end of June, 1967, that was referred to as the Summer of Love. That was the first time that the Lennon and McCarthy song, All You Need Is Love, came out. Summer of Love. It's hard to imagine that it was the Summer of Love. That was also the time where there were tremendous race riots across America. I lived in Elizabeth, New Jersey, and Newark, New Jersey was on fire. So was Watts and many other places. The Summer of Love, All You Need Is Love. And yet we know that God is love. We also know that we are exhorted in Scripture in many places that really love covers a multitude of sins. We are told that we are to learn to excel in love. Love for God and love for one another. Love was something that was missing in the Corinthian church. The Corinthian church did not excel in love in any way, shape, or form. And it was filled with other problems and even sins. And in 1 Corinthians, there were things that really needed to be corrected. Now, chapter 13, certainly, this is not anything that you don't know already, falls between chapter 12 and chapter 14. Very good. We have somebody who's paying attention. So it's right there in the middle. But in this section between 12 and 14, including chapter 13, the heart of the passage deals with spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts. So this is not an excursus or, you know, like where, why do we have a love passage come right here in the middle of spiritual gifts? First of all, I would also say, sometimes I am really befuddled by the fact that at marriage ceremonies, verses from this chapter are just used. Well, certainly love is very important, and we will see some of the things that love is and some of the things that love is not. But the problem in the Corinthian church is they did not demonstrate love towards one another. Without loving one another in a church fellowship, that church is going to die. The absence of love is a very, very bad thing to see happening. The Corinthian church, they were full of pride, they were full of arrogance, they wanted to have special gifts. Tongues were very important. The word of prophecy was very important. Knowledge was very important. They desired to have spectacular gifts. And that's what they pretty much were all about. They did not have high regard for one another. And even when they went about and they were using spiritual gifts for ministry, they certainly were not doing it with a spirit of love. They wanted to be very critical of one another. Actually, looking at spiritual gifts and even sign gifts is really not a mark of how spiritual a person is. If you really want to have a much better example of how spiritual a person is, wouldn't it be evident by taking a look at the fruit of the Spirit in that person's life? Because that would demonstrate how spiritual a person is. And isn't it also interesting that what is one of the first mentions of love in that list of spiritual gifts? It's love, right? Love, joy, peace, patience, you know, like on and on and on. So if you really want to see how spiritual a person is, there should be evidence when you take a look at the list in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. Well, we have a lot of things to say, and I do want to cover an outline. I certainly would just pray, and would you pray with me right now as we get into this message. Our Father and our God, we look to you to provide insight and help to us as we look at this section of the precious Word of God. This is your Word. You have given to us your Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit actually convict and convince and teach us this morning. And let us just really be most important in what you want to impress and teach us this morning. Not necessarily what is covered and if every verse has mentioned, but just let us see what you want us to learn. We commit this time now and this lesson in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's just read these 13 verses. I'm using the ESV, and it says, "If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal." Do you understand, as we're reading even some of these verses, that those special sign gifts that the Corinthians really wanted, I want to speak in tongues, I want to have a gift of prophecy, you can see in the context that Paul is saying, you know something? That's not important. It's not the spiritual gift that you have that amounts to anything. Because if I don't have love, but I do have the gift to speak in tongues, which, by the way, is not a gift that we see in the church today, or the gift of prophecy, or these other sign gifts. Even John Chrysostom, who died in 407 A.D., said that the absence of these sign gifts are not to be found in the church. He was one of the quote-unquote preachers at the time of the church fathers, you know, like, dare I say. So without love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. I just make a lot of noise if I don't have love. Verse 2, and if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. 3, if I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, or another translation, to be sacrificed, or I just give myself up, but I have not love, I gain nothing. Then we see these verses. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. These are things that the Corinthian church were full of. They were full of people who were not kind, not patient to each other, who were envious of the spiritual gifts that other brothers and sisters had. Amazing. It's very amazing. Again, it's not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but it rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love is permanent. It never ends. You know, like, what elements of love may be missing in your life or in the things that you do, believing that you're doing things for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, without love, it's useless. You know, we also could say that Jesus says in John's Gospel, without him you can do nothing. God is love. So without him, he comes alongside of you in what you do to minister to others, and even how you relate to family members, and family members in particular in the family of God. And if Christ is with you, and if you are Spirit-filled, you are going to be full of Christ-like love in everything you do. And if you don't have that as your motivation to love others as you serve Him, well, you're just making a bunch of noise. It profits you nothing. It may be wood, hay, and stubble that is going to be burned up someday, because the things that you do without love for one another, for the love of Jesus Christ most of all, will be burned up. Because then you're doing things just to elevate yourself, and you'd really have to question your motive. You know, do we live and serve Him each day? You know, like, I can empty out my bank account to help someone, but if I do it without the motive of love for that individual or that cause, it profits me nothing. Nothing at all. And there are people that do wonderful things for the Lord Jesus, or they believe that they're doing it for the Lord Jesus, and love is missing. Well, love never ends. It's permanent, because God is love. Did you ever think of that? And that's for prophecies. The Corinthians, who really wanted that special gift of prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, this is what Paul is saying to the Corinthians in this letter, for we know in part, we don't fully know, we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. So what does that mean, when the perfect comes? You know, there are some that would suggest that when the perfect comes, it's talking about the completed word of Scripture. I reject that. I reject that idea. I think it's a nice thought, and praise the Lord, we do have the Word of God, which is completed, and we don't need to have a new word of prophecy, and we don't have to have someone, I have a message from God, and I'm going to speak in tongues, which is a known language. I think that when the perfect comes, for no extra charge, I will tell you what I think. I think it's going to be when we are face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think that certainly He is perfect in everything that He does. And there is coming a time where we are going to be face to face with Him. And I think that later on in Scripture, we will see that. That's how I see this interpretation. There's probably about four or five ways that you can take a look at that. We're not going to look at those, because I don't want you to take the wrong view. You know, like, just go to the bank with what I just told you, please. So, okay, tongues, they will cease, knowledge, they will pass away, know in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. And then, as an illustration, to underscore the fact of what was going on in this church that was not fully mature yet, who were still acting like children, wanting to have one another's toys. Oh, John, you have the gift of prophecy. I want that. I don't like having the gift of helps. Oh, I wish I had the prophecy like John or something like that, like children fighting. So the illustration is, when I was a child, I spoke like a child. I wonder if that is a subtle, you know, like poking in the eye of those that wanted to have to speak in tongues. I don't know. Maybe he's poking them in the eye. I spoke as a child. I thought as a child. I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish ways. And then he gives another illustration, because in Corinth, one product that some of the craftsmen made and they excelled in were mirrors, polished brass mirrors. And he says to them, now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. This is where I believe that when the perfect comes, he's talking about the Lord Jesus. Now I know in part, then I shall fully know, even as I have been fully known. God knows us fully. He knows everything about us today. He knows everything about us right now. He knows what we're thinking about right now, even as we're looking at his word. He knows if you're saying, my goodness, a couple more minutes and we can get coffee. And there's even snacks. Snacks today. Oh, what a great day. But the whole thing is, God knows in part, but then when we are going to also be with him, everything is going to be so much clearer. Not only about him, the great God who loves us, but we will also, as we are fully known by him and we know everything that pleases him too, just think of how our fellowship, one to another, is going to improve. I'll quickly go through a couple of things just before I close. We know that, just as a quick review in verses 1 to 3, without love, what do I become, even if I use special sign gifts? Tongues and angels, I'm just making noise without love. Prophecy, knowledge, and faith, without having love, I'm nothing, nothing. Sacrifices made. If I make sacrifices, it counts for nothing. What does love look like in verses 4 through 8a? What does it look like? Verse 4, it's patient. It's kind, one to another. Patient and kind. What is it in verse 7? It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things. It endures all things. It endures even our getting along one to another. It also, we see in verse 6b, it rejoices in the truth. That's what love does, rejoice in the truth. And we also see that love is permanent. It's never going to fade. It's always appropriate in season. What is love not? What is it not like? Verse 4 says, well, it's not jealous. It's not boastful. It doesn't brag. It's not arrogant. We see in verse 5 some other qualities that love is not. It's not rude. It's not demanding. It doesn't insist on its own way. In other words, it's not irritable. It's something that is not resentful. We also find that it is not glad about wrongs done to others, or it's not happy about any injustice. And what is going to happen to the sign gifts, like tongues and prophecies, knowledge? We see that in verse 8, they will cease or be done away with. Why? Because the Corinthian church only knew in part. It was not knowledge. I mean, it was not perfect. It was incomplete. What is something that we can take encouragement? Well, we can know that the perfect is coming. And someday, I believe we are going to be certainly face to face with that is perfect, the Lord Jesus Christ. Just think how much knowledge we will gain at that point in time. Things are going to become so clear to us. What really remains and is important and what is the greatest is love. There's faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. At the end of the last verse of chapter 12, Paul said, and I will show you a still more excellent way. He had just done part of his discourse on gifts. and he will show a more excellent way. And he did in chapter 13. May everything you do, not only today, but from this day forward, underscore the love, Christ-like love, in everything you do, in your families, in the church family, everything for the Lord Jesus. We thank you again that you have given us this opportunity, Heavenly Father, just to open up the Word of God, and we pray that you, through the power of your Holy Spirit, will certainly give us clear understanding for what you want us to do with what we have considered this morning in our own hearts and in our own lives, for the glory of the Lord Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.